appreciate the opportunity to be able to be with you, and certainly remember Pastor Andy as he is dealing with this hurt knee, and thank the Lord that he is doing a lot better and that he's able to be here this morning. So praise God for his hand of healing. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 18 this morning, Luke chapter 18, I wanted to look at a unique passage of Scripture that Jesus gives, a parable. Luke chapter number 18. I want to begin reading in verse number 9 this morning. If you're able to stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God, please do so at this time. We're going to read verses 9 through 14. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees during this discourse here. Notice what he says in verse number 10. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote into his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. May we pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for the gathering together today to worship you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Savior of the word. And we pray, Lord, as we look into this passage of Scripture, you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to these truths, Lord, that we may apply them to our lives as we seek to honor you and to serve you better. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's a very sensitive passage. But Lord, you've given it in your word for a purpose and for a reason. And I pray, Lord, that it would be there to be able to help us. And Lord, that your Spirit would be able to direct and to teach us through this. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and honored. In the matchless name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We have been given the awesome privilege of being able to come to God's house to be able to worship Him, haven't we? We know there's so many places in other countries where they do not have the freedoms that we do to be able to come and to gather together to be able to worship. But God forbid that we ever take that for granted. We have this wonderful opportunity to be able to come, to be able to fellowship, to be able to sing praises to God, to be able to pray, and to be able to hear the Word of God proclaimed. Those are tremendous liberties that we enjoy. But coming to church is more than just showing up, isn't it? It's more than just getting up on Sunday morning and putting our clothes on and driving to church and coming in and sitting down. You know, I remember years ago reading a book called Making Sunday Special. And it kind of went through talking about church is more than just that. It's more than just showing up and listening, but we are to be active participants in the things of worship. Because worship is action, isn't it? It's not sitting, but it's participating with God, our corporately coming together and giving praise to Him. But worship just doesn't begin in the sanctuary or where we are participating. We know that worship and the preparation of worship begins far before we even get here, or it should. You know, we know that as we're at home, we search our hearts. We're supposed to search our hearts and prepare our hearts for worship as we come together. We're to confess any sins that we may have, that there won't be anything that will be a hindrance to us being able to hear the Spirit of God at work in our hearts and in our lives. We're to pray for those that are in authority over us, those that have responsibilities to preach the Word of God, those who teach the Word of God, that God would speak through them and allow them to be a vessel, to be able to share truth that may benefit and help us, to be sensitive to the Spirit and the leading as we teach and preach the Word of God. To pray for the church, that God would give direction and guidance to the church. So there's a lot of things that happen before we ever show up to church. And just because we leave and go out of those doors and go back to our normal routine of life, that doesn't mean that everything's just like it was. But you know, when we go out of those doors of the church, we're to leave differently, aren't we, than when we came. To have had an impression made upon us through the Spirit of God, to be able to enable us to make adjustments in our life by what we hear and by what we see. Because church, in a sense, is about us, but it's all about God. Amen. Because it's His church, and He died for it. So we look at this passage of Scripture, and we see that the Lord Jesus Christ allows us a glimpse into the temple as two people gather together to worship and to pray. We'll see that one of these men came to worship himself, and the other man came that day to worship God. So I wanted to look at this passage of Scripture and bring out a few key ingredients or a few key points that I think will help all of us. This passage of Scripture is not meant to condemn or to point fingers at anybody, because to be honest, I don't know any of you really. But I do know that God has given us these truths that are striking, that are very poignant, and that are there for a reason and for a purpose that He gave this parable. And they can help us to be, just like any passage of Scripture, they can be there to help us examine ourselves. Because folks, ultimately the Word of God is a mirror, isn't it? If it's anything, it's a mirror. As we look into God's perfect law of liberty, we're to see ourselves as we truly are. And as we see ourselves in light of God and the teachings of God, it gives us an opportunity, as we see our reflection in that, to be able to make those adjustments that are necessary to conform us to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. The first thing I wanted to point out is the two kinds of people that we see in this parable that Jesus gives in verse number 10. Notice what he says. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. So we see this publican that, and of course we know, or excuse me, not the publican, we see this Pharisee, that he was a spiritual leader. That he was a spiritual leader among the people. He was known and respected as a true man of God. He knew the Scriptures. The Pharisees would commit whole books of the Bible, or of the law, if you will, to memory. They would wear these little leather boxes called phylacteries. They would either wear them on their arms or their wrists, or even around their head. It was these little boxes that were like little squares, and they contained portions of the law, portions of Scripture. Jesus even addressed this practice in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 5. He says, but all your works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." If you read the Word of God, you'll understand and see that Jesus many times did not speak highly of the Pharisees, did he? He was very condemning of them because they had an outward righteousness, but it was not sincere and true on the inside. We know that the Pharisees would have prayed at least three times a day. And the Pharisees loved to pray their long, loud, public prayers so other people could be able to see them. Hold your place in our passage and turn back to Matthew chapter number 6 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives a very condemning portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 5 through 8. He's talking to the people and basically sharing with them what not to do. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily or truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." So Jesus was condemning this practice and this attitude of the Pharisees in their practice of praying three times a day. And of course, the way that they were praying and the attitude of their heart was not sincere. We also know that the Pharisees fasted twice every week. They fasted on Mondays and they fasted on Thursdays. The Pharisees, they would make their fasting very public when they did so. Notice, if you'll look back in our passage of Scripture in Luke or in Matthew chapter number 6, look at verse number 16. Notice what Jesus says regarding that. He says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You see, the Pharisees, just as they prayed when they fasted, they would not comb their hair. They would not wash their face. They wore the most wrinkled, crumpled clothes that they could find. They would even take ashes and rub upon their face so that they would make themselves look pale because they were so depleted of energy and depleted of food. So when people looked upon them, they would say, "Wow, that's a true man of God. He has went the extra mile in seeking God. He's done what he's supposed to. I want to be like that." So that was this attitude of these Pharisees. Most things were done openly to be praised of men, but yet their heart was not right with the Lord. The Pharisees also tithed everything that they possessed, every herb, down to the very herb that grew in their garden, they would tithe. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus says that they pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. But then he goes on to say, yet they've omitted the weightier matters of the law. So down to literally the very herbs in their garden, they gave a tenth or a tithe. The Pharisees were noted as making a public show of their tithing. Notice what it says back in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." So folks, what we have here in this first man that's addressed in this parable in Luke chapter 18, is a very religious man. He's a very religious man. He's considered to be holy by everyone who saw him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20, he says, "That except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into," or in no case, "enter into the kingdom of heaven." So when Jesus was speaking to the people, he gave this verse or this statement to these people to help them to see that they appear on the outward side to have everything together. Unless your righteousness exceeds this righteousness, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because you see, everything that the Pharisees did was just superficial. It was on the outside, but it was not the sincerity of the heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 27, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness." So Jesus was very condemning of the Pharisees. He saw truly to the core of these men's hearts, that everything they did was on the outside to be seen and to be praised by other men. But folks, nothing they did reached heaven, because it wasn't out of the sincerity of their heart. Folks, we're reminded as we look at this Pharisee and we look at this Pharisaical mindset in general, the fact that God is not interested in our self-serving, our self-righteousness, or our holier-than-thou attitude, is he? He doesn't care one bit about that. You see, man does look on the outward appearance, but what matters most is where God looks. And the Bible tells us that God looks where? God looks upon the heart. So this parable that we're given by the Lord Jesus Christ addresses this Pharisee that's in the temple, that he's praying, and the way he's praying is a contrast to this publican. Look at verse number 10 of our passage. We see there's also another person that's there, this publican. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." Now this publican, he was a spiritual outcast. And when he came to the temple, he could pray in the court of the Jews. He had that opportunity, he had that right as a Jewish person, but he was not allowed to be able to go to the meetings at the synagogue. The other Jews hated the publicans. They looked down upon them because publicans were tax collectors. Publicans were tax collectors. They worked for the Roman government. And then, of course, the Roman government was the nation that dominated the Jewish people. And, of course, the Jewish people hated the Romans. But the tax collectors were hated by the people. They were known for their greed. They were known for their dishonesty. We even know that Matthew or Levi one of Jesus' disciples was even a publican himself. And there's the possibility, nothing is set in stone, there's a possibility even that the Lord Jesus Christ could have been using this parable that we see in Scripture of Matthew or Levi himself and his coming to himself and the realization of his need for a Savior and his need for forgiveness. That's not in Scripture, that's just a thought that's there. But this publican come to the realization that it was beyond him. It was more than himself. It wasn't about him, but it was about God. You see, as we look at a spiritual application regarding this Pharisee or this publican, we see the contrast between these two men. The fact that God can work with one of these men, but he was not able to work with the other man, because of their attitude of the heart. So we see these two kinds of people that are mentioned here. We also see these two kinds of prayer that are uttered to the Lord. Both of these men, the self-righteous Pharisee and the wicked publican, went into the temple to be able to worship, to be able to pray. And notice in verse number 11 and 12, this haughty prayer of the Pharisee. Notice what he says. The Pharisee stood and prayed with who? Himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So not only was he praying with himself, supposedly allowing God to be able to hear it, and he begins to thank God that he's not like other people. And then he even goes outside of the prayer that he's supposed to be uttering to the Lord and finds somebody to demean that's even close to him. Thank you that I'm not like this publican. So he's quick to inform God of his own righteousness. And he does this by comparing himself with other people, doesn't he? And then he finds this publican that's nearby and even demeans him because he's looking around trying to find someone else that he is better than. So he brags about his religious works, his giving, his goodness. He feels that he is and has arrived in the eyes of the Lord. This Pharisee's unaware that anything is wrong with his heart. It's all about him, isn't it? It's all about building himself up in the eyes of God. There's no hint in this Pharisee's heart or in his life that perhaps he may not be right with God, that he needs to make some changes, that he needs to make some adjustments in his life. Folks, God help us that we never be like this Pharisee. Because this Pharisee's prayer never got above the ceiling, did it? His attitude was all wrong. And the Lord will not respond favorably to a self-serving prayer like this. Folks, he just won't do it. In James chapter 4, verse number 3, it says this, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see the condemning aspect that Jesus has, that James has, and even Paul warned believers in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. He says, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Listen, folks, as Christians, we're not to go around kicking a can all the time, thinking we're a sad sack and we're not worth anything to God. But no, we're to rejoice in God our Savior. But we're to have an attitude certainly that is not haughty and pharisaical, but an attitude that we are not to think we're more better than we really are. Because God truly sees and knows our heart. We're to be sober about the things that we do and joyous in the God of our salvation who has saved us from damnation and destruction and has given us a wonderful opportunity to be able to serve Him and live our lives not for ourselves, because that's what the Pharisee was doing, wasn't he? He was living his life for himself better than everybody else. Not living our lives for ourselves, but living our lives for Jesus Christ. And having the privilege and honor and opportunity to be a workman created in Christ Jesus. Contrast this Pharisee with this publican. And notice the humility that he has in verse number 13. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Folks, this Pharisee doesn't have great swelling words to offer up to God. He knows that he has really nothing to offer God, because he's a wicked man. He's a wicked sinner, and he understands that within his own heart. This Pharisee doesn't understand and see any blemish of sin. All he sees is his own goodness. And if anybody could stand up to God's microscope, he could. But folks, the truth of the matter is none of us can stand against God and God's microscope. We all fall short. We're all sinners. There's not a perfect person here. I even had two different color socks on this morning because I couldn't find the other one. All the way from my head down to my toe, I messed up. And God knows it too. And I might as well not try to pretend I'm anything other than that. But we all fall short of God. But God wants sincerity within us. That God wants us, our hearts, to be open and receptive of Him and willing to change. Again, willing to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Notice what he does. He humbles himself before God, and what does he do? He asks for mercy. Folks, he won't even lift up his eyes to heaven because he... Have you ever prayed that way before? I have. You couldn't even lift your eyes up because you were so ashamed of yourself that you didn't even want to look toward heaven to acknowledge that. But he was so ashamed of himself, he couldn't even bear to raise his eyes up. And he beat himself on the chest and said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Folks, that is the attitude of a person that God can do something in their life. That is a person who is a vessel that God can be able to help with their problems. God couldn't do anything to be able to help this Pharisee with that type of attitude of the heart. But God could do just about anything that he needed to in the life of this publican who acknowledged his faults, acknowledged his sin. Notice in verse number 14, we see something else. The prophet that is part of this, two kinds of prophet. Verse number 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. This is talking about the publican, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, both of these men prayed, but the outcome was drastically different in the eyes of God. As they both stood before God, both of these outcomes were different. One man was received by God, and that was the publican, the sinner. The Lord heard that simple prayer from his heart. And this man was justified in the sight of the Lord. He was forgiven. Folks, whether it be the first time that we pray to God and ask Him to save us, or we bow beside our bed tonight and confess our sins, it has to be done with a sincere heart, doesn't it? Whether it's for initially for our salvation experience when we become a child of God, or as we walk by faith through this world, and because we still have a sinful nature. Every one of us sin. There's not a person here today that won't sin before they go to sleep tonight. And in order for us to be able to keep our account short with God, and so that we don't have sin in our heart and in our life that hinders the working of God, we must confess our sins. Why? Because He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We all pick up dirt along the way, don't we? And we need to be forgiven of that sin, that it does not distract and hinder us from the Spirit of God working in our lives as He desires to. So one man was received by God, the other was refused by God. See, the Pharisee was ignored by the Lord. He went home feeling good about himself, that his experience in the temple was great, it was satisfying. But folks, the truth is, in reality, this man's sin remained. It was still there. Yes, he felt good about himself and his experience in the temple. He built himself up. He even thought that, I'm great in God's eyes. I am it. But his sin was still there because of the attitude of the heart. Remember, folks, this parable here is given to the Pharisees, with the disciples there being able to hear it themselves as a reminder to them as well. But Jesus wanted these self-righteous hypocrites, as He called them, to understand that the way to the Lord is not by building self up, but acknowledging our weaknesses, our faults, our failures, our sins. Folks, that's how we, in the eyes of God, are lifted up, by acknowledging our, not our pride, but our humility before Almighty God. You see, that is a heart that God can work in and change and adjust as He desires. We become clay in His hands. You remember the story in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah went down to the potter's house and of course saw him be able to form something wonderful from that. You see, folks, the way that we honor, the way to be honored by the Lord is to realize that there is nothing, that we're nothing before the Lord. That we're nothing before God. That God doesn't, folks, God doesn't need us. He wants us. He loves us so much that He desires a relationship with you and I as His children by faith. Isaiah 64:6, we're reminded that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can never be good enough or righteous enough or holy enough to deserve God, or certainly deserve heaven. But it's according to His mercy and according to His grace, that unmerited favor of God, that we're able to have access to Him and access to the throne of His grace. Paul acknowledges himself as chief among sinners in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Romans chapter 7, Paul said this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to him to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Folks, the way to forgiveness is through confession. Now we know confession is agreeing with God about our sins. You see, the Pharisee never come to that point, did he? And all that the publican would think about was his position before God and how he fell short. But we should never be in the business, folks, of judging others like this Pharisee was. Because, folks, we have a righteous judge who he is the only one qualified to judge. And so we have to be mindful of that as well. We have to be careful that we don't judge other people and be a Pharisee like what we see in the Scriptures. So, folks, I've shared these truths with you, not to in any way to be condemning to anyone, but for us to be able to understand, folks, that as we look at these two individuals that we have in Scripture, these are really a picture of every Christian. We're represented by either one or the other of these two individuals that are standing in the temple, worshiping and praying. We're either a Pharisee or a publican. And we have to acknowledge that and realize, folks, that we're not always a Pharisee and we're not always a publican. But at times and seasons in our spiritual walk, we can be. And we can represent one of these men. And so we have to be honest and open with ourselves and honest and open with God. You see, the one man that went to church and left with nothing, he went through his rituals, he judged others by his own standards, he prayed his self-serving prayers, and he worshiped himself. And in return, he had nothing. He went home feeling good about himself, but he had not touched heaven at all. The other man went to church, went to the temple and left with everything. Why? Because he had gained favor with God. God had forgiven him because of his honesty, because of his confession, because of his true worship. He connected with God that day. And folks, as we have a privilege and honor and opportunity to be able to come together as God's people, we have to understand, folks, that God desires to be able to see within us or to be able to see us as His vessels. 2 Timothy chapter 3 gives us this. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but Paul talked about in a house there's many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. But then he goes on to say that God desires to see us as vessels of honor fit for the Master's use. And as God sees a vessel that He can use and be able to pour out where and when He desires, that God is able to work in our lives and through our lives as He desires, then folks, that is a heart that is pliable before God. That is a heart that is not prideful or boastful, but a heart that is willing to be able to acknowledge their faults and failures and draw close to God and to be what God desires him to be. And folks, when this church or any church has that type of attitude within their congregation, that they're wanting to be somebody that God can pour out and use for His glory, then that is a church, folks, that will be able to be on fire for the Lord and be able to accomplish what He desires them to accomplish as His church and as His people. Because God doesn't work in a church without first working in the hearts of His people. And then He can do and be honored and be glorified in the work that is done for His sake. Let's pray this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in the day that You have given us. Thank You, Lord, for these truths in Your Word that we've been able to look at this morning. And Father, I pray that you would search our hearts. And Lord, see if there be anything within us that is a hindrance or an attitude, Lord, that would hinder your desires and your design for us as your children. I pray, Lord, that you would, through your Spirit, reveal things in our lives, Lord, that perhaps we need to make adjustments or changes, that you could be glorified and honored more in and through our lives, that you can accomplish what you desire to. That we would be quick to confess our sins and our faults and our failures. Lord, be glorified, be honored in our lives, in what we do, where we go, what we say, and our thoughts that we have toward others, and the thoughts that we have, most importantly, toward you. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for the Savior. Thank you for the privilege to pray this morning. Thank you for the privilege to preach your word. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be your children by faith. That you can allow us to be vessels fit for the Master's use. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.